This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know that whenever you hear us on air, it is none other than 3 Biz right here on Cliff Central. And you know this is a show that brings you all things business. We bring in subject matter experts, we bring in regulators, we bring in industry champions, and most importantly, we bring in game changers. That's why I'm particularly excited about some of the game changers that we're having today on the show. I mean, we're actually talking about something that is very close to my heart, doing business against all odds. You know, some of you that as well know my story, that I've started and I've been running my business against all odds. It goes without saying that it's not me only, and many other entrepreneurs out there that are doing the same. That's why I'm excited that today I'm bringing them in studio. I'm still alone in studio. You know, my boy Bulelani Bala is coming. He'll join us whenever he gets through on the show. We've got as well a lady that is as well coming through on the show. You know, I always say business people don't become late, but they become delayed. So I'd like to think they are perhaps delayed by appointments and everything else. However, growing business face a range of challenges, and as a business grows, different problems and opportunities demand different solutions. What worked a year ago might not be the best approach this year. All too often, avoidable mistakes turn what makes a business a great into a long run. Recognizing and overcoming common pitfalls associated with growth is essential if your business is to continue to grow and thrive. Crucially, you need to ensure that steps you take today don't themselves create additional problems for the future. Effective leadership will help you make the most of opportunities, creating sustainable growth for the future. Our guests today have overcome some of these challenges and built their businesses against all odds, from factory banning to financial challenges and to others going wrong, and they've done it all. That's why in studio I'm very excited today to be having Nonhlanhla Mthethwa, who is the founder of Girls Inc. and winner of the Standard Bank My Fearless Next competition. If some of you would remember, that's a competition that the winner was to win a year's salary for them to start a business. So let's hope Umam Mthethwa has brought some of that money with us today. I've got a good brother and a dear friend of mine that you know, I've known for many years now. I've supposed to actually have had him on the show before, but hey, I guess you know, our diaries didn't allow. But I'm glad to have him today, who's Mr. Zamosi Ngomani, who's the founder of Most Delicious Foods. It's interesting that, you know, with this brother, we know each other in the construction space, getting dirty and everything. So now he's creating food. So now he's going to tell us, you know, indeed as to how he goes about doing that. He's brought himself as well his own personal chef. I was told he is a professional chef. I thought I was the one having a chef in my house, but clearly things are changing these days. I'm actually excited that today on the show, I think you'll get to see some of you guys that are going to be live with us on the show. I'll try to as well tweet and post. I'm sitting with this beautiful precious doll next to me called, you know, what, Tando, baby Tando, right?
Baby Tando.
Oh, yes. Yeah? Oh yes, baby Tando. I'm doing the show with baby Tando today. You'll get to hear who baby Tando is. The mother will introduce her, and you'll get to actually get to interact with some of the guests without any wasting time and getting to the midst of the discussion that we have, because we've got a lot to discuss today. Let me not waste time, but however, take this opportunity to welcome my guest to studio. Thank you, lady and gents, for coming through and joining us today on the show.
Thank you.
Definitely. So I guess I always say ladies first, because you know, you're the only odd one here. You see, the other lady is failing you, misrepresenting. Maybe she's still caught up on Women's Month. So, but anyway, let me take this opportunity to welcome Mam Mthethwa. Do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Okay, thank you so much. My name is Nonhlanhla Mthethwa, and I'm from a company called Girls Inc. And what we do is we create a brand, a black brand for girls, which is called Baby Tando.
So tell me, okay, you okay, well, we'll get to that. Let me not go there yet. Okay. Let me come to my brother Zama. Zama, it's interesting that your official name is Zamos.
Yes.
And I know you as Zama.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Why Zamos? Why Zama?
Okay. Firstly, as you said, Zamos Kangomane, founder of Most Delicious Foods.
Mm-hmm.
And the name, I guess, it's Varsity. When I was doing a landscape technology.
Okay.
And you know Most.
So you did landscape technology?
I did, yeah. I'm a landscape architect, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So. Wow, okay. This gets more interesting. Okay.
So like you said, the black doll, our names become difficult to be pronounced at adversity when we mix with other races.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they were calling me Zama. So I went with it and I kept used to it. Hence, I met you and I'm still Zama today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Yeah. My brother?
Hey, sure.
Yeah, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
My name is Mpo Bowe, the head chef of Mosdale. Changers of seafood.
Oh, game changers of seafood. Yeah. No, I like that. So maybe then, without wasting time, ladies and gentlemen, those are our guests. And then others, I'll introduce them as they come through to the show. You know what? Tando doesn't want to sit straight. Tando, you must sit straight here. Yeah, so that, yeah, because I want to do it as well. I usually do Insta Live. So for people to see, they must see you. So then maybe let me start with you, Mam Tetwa.
Yeah,
where are you from? Where's home?
I'm from KZN.
Okay.
Maritzburg.
Okay.
But now I'm based here in Pretoria.
You're based in Pretoria?
Yeah.
Okay. So now you are here as the winner of My Fearless Next. So maybe before we get there, take us perhaps to the beginning. Why are you in business in the first place, and more especially, why the business that you're in, and why can't you be owning a sorbet somewhere or becoming a receptionist somewhere?
Yeah. Okay. So I would like to say that I was not born an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Definitely not, because I knew that you have to finish matric, go to varsity and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
However, when my daughter turned 2, I went and looked for a doll for her, and I couldn't find something that resembled her. So, I don't know, it just bothered me that I'll buy a doll that she doesn't relate with, you
okay.
know. So I went home and I don't know, it was just a spark of and like this idea just came as a flashlight, like, why don't you do a doll for your daughter?
Yeah.
That's how it started.
Okay.
And then it was a challenge, because I mean I didn't have money, and I partnered up with a business partner of mine who is in KZN. Her name is Lulega.
Okay.
And from there on we just kept on trying up until
Okay, so when did you start this business?
Gosh, we started in 2005.
Okay.
However, it's 2015 was the only time when we started to produce the dolls.
So from 2005, what were you doing?
I got married, I relocated, I worked.
Mm-hmm.
In the back of our minds, we had it that we wanted to do this doll. But, I mean, things happened. We didn't have enough funds and all of that. Up until 2015,
okay.
we had, secured enough funds for mm-hmm. us to start with our first batch.
Mm. Okay. No, it's fine. Bulelan. Okay, so we forget Bulelan. Zama. guys, Bulelan just walked in. So that's why I'm calling Bulelan. Zama, tell me. You studied turning landscape architecture.
Yes.
When did you start in business?
I think I started in business, it should be like 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because even through completing, obviously, my degree,
mm-hmm.
I realized through working that this is not me. So I felt like something that I owed. I don't know if I should call it a prophecy of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to start a business on the side whilst working.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it should be about 6 years ago.
So you started a business while working?
Yes.
Were you working for a landscape company?
I was actually for Abacus Gardens and Landscaping here in Honeydew.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you started a business during what?
I started a business moonlighting, obviously, over weekends.
Okay.
Getting clients, visiting clients, and then consulting on the landscape base.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I actually started the construction section.
Okay.
Yeah, and then through the years, I developed this passion for most daily for cooking.
Okay.
Because I would cook for family and friends and home.
You haven't cooked for me?
I think I did it sporo. The guys did.
No. You see, that it was a place of business. You know? You said you cook for family and friends. I'm like, you haven't cooked for me.
I think that the space that we were at with me and you wasn't allowing. But I guess, obviously, they say the universe meets.
Yeah.
And eventually we met now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So then from there, maybe let me take this opportunity to welcome my boy, Bulelani. But how are you, Fana?
I'm sorry. No, man, I'm very good. I'm happy to be in studio today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for the guests we have. I was jamming on the way here driving that small thing.
Don't tell me you're still driving that thing.
I'm driving that thing till the second week of October. So I've learned to embrace it. It's now a part of
so
me.
So now have
but
you
I was
learned
listening to Moby Dixon, I'm happy.
So you're learning to fit yourself into that
thing. Yeah, no, I've managed to now fit. It's now sometimes I get carried away and think that if I full throttle, it's going to respond. So it doesn't take as quick, man. But I'm happy to be in studio today. It's a beautiful sunny day. And I think for me, you know, I was having a session with the team yesterday. It's realizing that I think for us for the year, you know, we left 2.5 months, you know, in 5 months of our financial year.
Okay.
And we haven't even ticked through, I think, 60% of our KPIs as a company. And it's fast pace.
Yeah, ne?
Yeah.
No, definitely. So then, I mean, today we're talking business against odds. So maybe, Nontantla, let me come to you. What are some of the challenges that you've experienced in your entrepreneurial journey? I've heard warehouses have been down, and you've gone through a lot, girl. You know, do you want to take us through some of the stories of what you've gone through, or where are some of the odds for you that, you know what, almost made it impossible for you to be in business today?
Okay. I think first and foremost, it would have to be funding. You know, when we first did our initial batch, I mean, we didn't have any money. So that's why it took that long for us to even come up with the first batch. So when we did our first batch, we were quite happy because now we could see that, you know, we're moving forward. And then with that money, then we secured a second batch of goods and all of that. And then out of the blue, everything burnt down, like everything, every single doll and bags and everything that we brought in late 2017 burnt down. So now
how did it happen
though? It was at my business partner's place. We didn't have a warehouse
because
we didn't have enough funds. We didn't have insurance because we thought we'll deal with that.
And it's in the black people, we wing it, eh?
No, so if it was able to come this side without insurance, we'll be fine. You know, it's at your place. And then an electric fault happened and the whole house, she actually lost her entire house as well.
Sure.
So the whole house burnt down with all our stock. As I'm talking right now, we don't have stock. We just have samples.
Okay.
Yeah. So I remember the day when she told me, like, I cried, obviously, and when she sends me pictures. But because she was alive, I mean, I said, you know what, somehow we'll find a way. And boom, Standard Bank happened.
Wow. Okay, we're gonna come to that part. Zama, I know you had your own odds, bro.
Yeah.
You know, what has been some of the odds or some of the challenges for you in business thus far?
I think, obviously, the first point that she highlighted, it's funding. It's difficult to get fundings. Hence, in my case now with Most Daily, I had to like work twice as I'm working to actually fund the food business.
And okay. Are you still employed?
I'm still employed, yeah.
Okay.
I'm still employed. So obviously the odds is to juggle family and then work and coming back as well to work. Hence, Mpo is doing such a great deal in terms of balancing the two because he's there during the day and then I'm able to actually come through if there's any challenges and assist. So, and the biggest challenge now with the food industry is obviously our dish is quite pricey. The most expensive one is 200 rand, you know.
Okay.
So people always want you to validate your price when they come to buy. So especially with our own blacks, I don't understand, but they're getting used to it. And I'm happy that I started a gas at Davidton. And then people are starting to understand. People are coming through when they see people on our timeline coming through buying, people like you, especially prominent people, once they start seeing your celebrities buying from you.
Yeah, I've seen you posting pictures of some celebrities, mayors.
Yes.
You know, and I'm at least one Zama, one father.
So I guess that validation becomes slightly overlifted, and then we're gaining that recognition. So I would say that's the problem. Like she said, I mean, she was telling me now about Baby Tando. It's about 290. Before I buy from her, I need to validate her. I don't know what happens there instead of actually supporting. So that's a challenge that we're actually facing.
Zama is raising a very important issue. You know, how important is validation and credibility as black business? You know, because right now I've realized, I mean, right now, you, if ever yourself, ne? You were not doing your major league, your doctor do me and whatsoever. There's just certain prices when you charge. We'll ask, Bulena, why are you charging me this much?
Yeah, man. You know what it is for me, right? I think from a brand, I think as entrepreneurs, yes, there's a key role that we need to play in terms of positioning our brands right the right way. But I think just as well, there must be a certain level of understanding from the consumer.
Okay.
I mean, when I go and I buy a similar pair of jeans, or I go and I buy a similar dish, that I would pay a similar amount to just slightly more at a more opulent pace. You know, I don't question them.
True.
And maybe I don't question them because of the location, because of the look and feel, because of the perceived mentality that says that businesses of a certain caliber and a look and feel deliver a certain product, right? But I feel at the end of the day, giving that business, so saying to the business, prove yourself is one thing, but saying to the business, yo, why is it so expensive? Why are you charging on the same level as a Guess jean or a Levi's jean or a Barbie doll? That thing now for me personally is discrimination. You know, you're discriminating against the product, because then you are thinking in your head, Guti, it's not of the same quality, you know, without even utilizing the product. Versus you saying to the entrepreneur, okay, cool, tell me or convince me about this product or brand. I'm used to ABC and D, but convince me about ABC and D. And I think then it's the entrepreneur's job to convince, because I think at the end of the day, we can't leave the onus with the client. So then for the client to make the decision to then say, well, I'm going to use them or not. But we need to then be able to also give them reasons why they need to be able to use us.
So, and Nontanta, do you find that you need to validate yourself or convince people why they need to buy your doll?
Yeah, I think when we started, people post things like, 290, what does she do? You know, does she talk?
Yeah, I'm does thinking, she watch herself?
You know, and you find that with the Barbie doll, she's like, I think about 32 centimeters, and she's like a stick. And they're willing to pay over 300 rand for that, you know. So we did find that. And then my brother mentioned an important point where he says that once they see celebrities buying or posting, then the interest comes, which is like, yeah, but it helps, it boosted us, because what we did was, when we started, as part of our marketing, we did give to a few celebrities with baby girls, and they posted wanted to post, they posted, and immediately if they post, you know, our sales went up. Now at least we've gained that traction, and they know us, they know the brand.
Okay, so Mpo, let me come to you. What has been some of the odds or some of the challenges for you in running the most daily business?
Introducing the dish in the township.
Good thing. You know, you've raised a very important point. You are a chef.
Yeah.
Obviously, you are taught a certain one how to present your food, sure. And things like that. Do you understand? China Vetusi has clearly looked, we just eat. Do you understand? So right now I've seen your presentation on a feature. I think it's lovely. Right. And I've tasted your food, and I think it's good. Why did you feel that the township needs that? And especially at the time that we're living at now.
We need something unique. Just bring something different to Davidson in our townships, just to attract people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you found that in your dish, it was able to give that.
Yeah.
And how's the response, Yabantu, that are generally there?
It's actually amazing, Nobo. people are supporting the business.
Okay.
Yeah, they also believe in the dream we have.
Is it?
Yeah.
So now, Zama, how far do you want to take this business?
Obviously, without a doubt.
I don't say obviously. We never know, Chief. Eh? Eh, we must ask. Eh?
I think I jumped into the business conversation. Obviously, it's to make it a franchise.
Yeah.
It's to reach parts of Rivonia, parts Gauteng, to be honest, okay, and Mpumalanga as well. Mm. I mean, to reach there would be a dream.
Okay, but I'm concerned. Though, where do you get your fish? Your fish is so big.
Am I allowed to mention franchise?
Do you put steroids on it?
Hey, but don't sell your trade secret.
So you buy them from a wholesaler?
Yes, I have a wholesaler that actually supplies us. Obviously, okay, because of the food handling issues.
Okay.
You know, in terms of Ugudla, there's a lot of things that you shouldn't pass.
True.
So obviously, to get it from them, because they have obviously the financial backing,
yeah,
to make it as fresh as possible.
Okay.
So we get it from there, and we make sure we stock out almost every 4 days to reserve the freshness at all times.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So then it does that mean that now whenever you stock it for every 4 days, you always run out?
Yes, that's definitely.
Is
definitely,
it?
Yeah. Yeah,
I need to try this fish. Where's this fish?
No, you should. Nikon, you'll try it. So, and another thing is as well, it is, I've seen that you promote yourself as well within what do they call this? The street food markets.
Yes, we do go almost all the food markets around the east.
Is it Tembisa one included?
Tembisa one went, although the first experience was not good. And then we actually went out because there were a lot of restrictions and there were not.
Okay. Give me an example.
I mean, you would have to fight with them to get electricity connections and all those things, and there was no direction. And then there's a lot of food stalls. I like competition, but that was too much competition.
Yeah,
for
no,
us.
We've had them on the show the other day. We're gonna still bring. We're still gonna have a show around food.
Yeah,
and that we're gonna bring you where we just set up and taste food.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna bring you back on that show. So after that show, I went as well to go visit them.
Okay.
And attended. I did see there's a lot of stalls there.
Yeah, that's the problem because we don't mind competition, but remember, with us, it's still seafood. It takes difficult for you to actually compete ne ikota nomhodu and meat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our traditional food. I mean, Nami, I wouldn't say no to that. So to go to such an environment and actually hammer yourself as small as we are, it's not right. So we decided to stick to where people actually know they're coming for food, and you find that it's competition that's healthy, not competition in terms of how many are we, but it's good food, good presentation of food, healthy stuff, and then we stuck Nabo Sporo and Sporo Cookout at Davidton Jamshack at the Butcher 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we've also joined the entertainment guys where we have SJ and Friends, which we were at, and the support there is amazing.
Because
they sell us out very quickly.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think, but then I want to have a bride in my house. Maybe we must have salmon. We just have fish. No? So for a change, we just have fish.
You know, fish is not something I readily order or even think of, you know. But I think, you know, being able to devour the right. So I like king clip, right?
Yes.
But if being able to devour one done by an entrepreneur who's very passionate, I can only imagine that experience. But I think also what it does for us as individuals, not just entrepreneurs, it opens us up to different experiences, sophisticated palates.
Yeah.
You know, so they say.
Yeah. So do you guys do catering?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
And in a catering setup, how do you charge? Let's say I want to host 10, 20 friends at my house, and you just looked after us.
You tell us, and then we can design according to what you want.
Is it?
Yeah.
Also, you do custom made.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I love the fit. It's not a one size fit all kind of thing. So, Mam Tetwa, you were recently part of your Fearless Next.
Yes.
So maybe let's get the judge first. Were you the judge, bra, or what were you?
So I was mentor / judge for the final.
Okay.
And so I think over a 7-week period, had about 6 contestants come a week to pitch their business ideas, and every week there was a round winner. Right.
Okay.
And then the round winners pitched at the end.
Oh, they go to the final.
Yeah, they got to the final. Okay. I mean, of which on the final, this she came out as the winner.
Okay. So then from the now, tell me. So now in that entire thing, what do they get?
So, I mean, I think she's better suited at say, you know. Mm. But I think, I mean, she wins a year's salary.
Okay.
And I think associated prizes as well.
Okay. Know? So tell us, Nontlanhla, what do you win?
You win a million
Come
rand.
Closer to the mic.
Sorry. You win a million rand plus, I think, 18 months of mentorship.
Okay.
From Standard Bank.
Is it? Yeah. So this million, is it,
won that,
is it
yeah.
is it book cash?
I'm not 100% sure because only yesterday we've started with the talks, so I'm not 100% sure if it's going to be a monthly thing or they will put it all.
Mm-hmm.
But it is for making sure that you do your business.
We won't hijack you, just say it.
So just to be safe.
So I think for you it came as a blessing because obviously you've lost your warehouse.
Sure.
You know, you've lost stock and now you need, you know, to
now I need to work. I think when it came, in fact, when I got a call to say that I was a first finalist, like I told myself that, you know, maybe God is, I don't know, trying to show us something because we've lost everything. I think over 300K worth of stock that was like gone.
You're kidding.
And we had no other way to recover from that.
Mm.
But now with the competition, I told myself that should I win, you know, then.
Are you going to build your friend that house? That been done?
We're going to have to work very hard. And then with the money that we make, eventually she can build her own beautiful house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what needs to happen now with this money is we need to dream, and we're going to dream big. We've been dreaming big, but we've been limited because of funds. So now on, like, I can't sleep. I'm constantly coming up with things that girls are going to use. And I think 2019 is going to be just, yeah, it's going to be
an exciting year,
very
yeah. exciting. So, because you know, one thing that I've always said, Bulelani, is that the baby market is, guys, it's booming. Mm. And I'm looking at now in malls, now they've put jumps, they've put this and that. And it's 100 and something per baby that you go jump for an hour.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yes.
And that thing, do you know how many babies are there? Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. They're jumping, and even their adults, their fathers and mothers.
And they also want to jump, then they cry, they want to jump for 3 hours.
Yes. Do you understand? And that's the thing, people that have mastered the baby industry, is that these babies cry for it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I looked at when I went to Disney on Ice this year, I went with my son. Do you understand? My son was dramatic in terms of, you know, wanting certain things. Like, I tell you, chief. Do you understand? So, I think certain things, he was dramatic to a certain extent. He knew, right, no, this man, this one is very entrepreneurial. Mm. He won't do, do you understand? And it was when I was leaving for Sweden. So, I took him the week before.
Right?
So, now the mother has bought tickets to take him the week after. So now the mother took him. So now this time he became extra dramatic because he knew what he wanted, where is it situated. Do you understand? And he knows, okay, obviously, now I'm able to say, hey, no, it's not going to happen. Do you understand? And my only work, obviously.
So he didn't strong arm you because you were going abroad.
Yeah, so then. So now the mother was complaining to say, no, this child is unfair. He went with you. He didn't want all of these things. Now with me, I need to buy the entire Disney on Ice. So for me, it's what I want to say, you know. With that, Nontlanhla, is that take advantage. You know, before we started the show, I mean, I even found a friend that that has daughters. Do you understand? And that has been refusing to, you know, to buy, you know, your Barbie or your whatever dolls, you know, because there's nothing that is accommodative for his kids. Do you understand? Right now, at the end of the day, there's a lot of, you know, right now there's a trend of you know, Africanism that is growing. Yes. And there's a lady that I got, Antonia, I think we're gonna have her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I had this lady break it down in terms of some of these trends, how, you know, now brands are going Africanist and this and this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? To say produce more products for babies. Yeah. And more than anything, I'm really praying and hoping that you're able to take advantage of the brand that you associated with now, with the competition that you won, to actually go out there Do you understand? Yeah, so definitely. For you to definitely you know, take advantage. Rona, it's home. You do things that are exciting. Let us know. We'll definitely bring you back. And we showcase some of the stuff.
Yeah. Next year, I think about June or so, I'll be introducing a boy character.
Nice.
His name is Coolio.
Oh, okay. Wow. No. I like that. I like the thinking. Do you understand? So because reality is we need you know. So we need to have more products that are accommodative more of the black market, and more than anything, I really hope that you get to be in stores as well.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because from a manufacturing point of view, this is black industrialist. Do you understand? You can even access that money, you know, from the point of now manufacturing yourself. Do you understand? Yes. So in terms of you now doing more products, doing more, you could be a fully fledged company. Maybe I must buy a stake. What do you think? so you know, into this business and make it work. What are some potential there? Yeah, what are some of the trends that you've seen then that are taking place?
I mean, obviously, I think it's that African, you know. And I think true to the sense, I mean, the next set of billionaires is gonna come from Africa. And I just think that corporates are just aligning themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at bread, it's got African print on it. You look at what was I seeing the other day, and I found it so funny, Macheo.
Mm-hmm.
You look at almost a BMW has that inside it. So they're trying to really appeal to the African market. But I think it's like what you're saying, it's a clarion call to young amazing Africans that are out there to start building their brands.
Yeah.
Start building their product. Because I think more and more we are waking up, or rather more and more we're waking up to the reality that says we can create our own.
Yeah, no, definitely.
We can produce our own and we can actually support our own. And it's no longer a thing for us to support our own and finding our own, become a billionaire.
Yeah, it's true.
Because it's our own. We've produced hundreds and thousands of billionaires across the world.
Yeah.
Now it's time for us to produce our own.
No, it's true. Let me ask you a question, Bilena. How many black landscape architects do you know?
Sure. Not of hand, eh?
Do you know any?
Not of hand. I mean there's one old timer I know, you know, but not of hand.
We're sitting with one.
Oh yeah.
there's a project I did for Egoroleni, the International Investment Offices.
Yeah.
It even won a national award. He did the landscaping for it.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So today he's into food.
So landscaping, what's landscaping? Like to design educate me.
Landscaping is basically transformation of space to create your living environment outside. Remember, you have an environment inside that you have, but why don't you create an environment that's outside that's conducive for you, where you can sit? And I mean, there's birds, there's your water features, there's pools, there's your stepping stones, there's paving, there's lawn. And people don't understand that there's different types of lawn. There's different type of trees and plants and where to plant them. So that's where we come in. Horticulturalists and landscape designers come through there. They will tell you where to put a particular plant and where to put a type of grass. Because people just go through and buy grass. There's type of grass where there's the soccer pitch uses a Kikuyu, for instance, because it takes heavy traffic. And then you have a space whereby you have you want your evergreen turf that is green throughout the whole year. But you need to know all those dynamics. So that's where landscaping comes in. It makes you interact with your outside environment, in short. Actually, it's a professional garden boy, I can put it like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Sure.
Interesting. Yeah. You didn't. Please tell me you didn't kill that business. Huh?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Still on.
Is it?
It's the one. Yeah.
No, because I understand how you can chase this passion, you know, of food and whatsoever. Yeah. But I've realized sometimes passion doesn't necessarily pay bills, because, you know, let's be honest.
That's true.
Do you understand? So passion doesn't necessarily pay bills. You need something that will pay bills up until, I don't know, that's just me.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because I don't know how many times I've been chasing my passion to date, and I've been like, hey, passion was on Lambi, so, you know.
and it's funny how people view from the outside. They actually think you're making it. And I mean,
it's true.
I fight every time with Mpo, and I tell him to be patient.
Yeah.
I mean, for him, it's passion plus a professional career.
Yeah.
So if he gets the wrong feedback, it can kill him.
That's so true.
But for me, it's passion. I go there every weekend and sit with them up until 12 a.m. and still have to wake up the next day. But I don't feel tired because for me, it was passion. I'm happy if I've served that one dish to one person that I don't know, like Bulelani, if he can come through and I serve it to him as we serve it on site and he enjoys it and comes back, the word of mouth goes through, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I can even sell one for that day, but I'm fine.
Yeah, for me, I think Zama, one thing that I want to say is that Grumumpo, you know, Grumumpo and enhances confidence level. Do you understand? And he becomes maybe like the face behind Moss. Do you understand? Yeah. And you grow the landscaping.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because I'll make an example. Okay, no, I can't. we're building somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I cannot tell you how much we pay for landscaping, things like that. Do you understand? Yeah. And for me to actually be building and not being able to even get occupational certificate.
Yeah.
Because my landscaping is not proper.
Yes.
Do you understand? I'm like, no guys, but I've run out of money. They said no, but it forms part of the house. Do you know that, Bulelani? Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So now you need to get like your 200,000-300,000 for landscaping now.
Yeah.
Where is that coming from? Do you understand? We're not to you, Nontanta, it's stock. Ne? It's not to me, it's landscaping. Do you understand? So so for me, I can rather take that 300,000 and buy stock.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. Then put it on grass and everything else. Do you understand? And sometimes you find the sad thing is that as well, when now people you're trying to get hold are the black contractors that are doing this, there isn't.
Yeah.
You'd find garden boys.
That's true.
Sometimes that when he's even telling like, Chief, I've been doing this for so long, Lendong Jalayona, you know, it doesn't really go according to. Do you understand? So yeah, that's why, I mean, I'd still want you to grow that business.
Okay.
And really take it out there because there's a serious market for you, especially in the estates.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I mean, right now, in my side, it's a country estate. Mm. Do you understand? So there's people with big gardens.
Yes.
Where money is not a problem is how to spend it.
Yeah.
But right now, we don't have a Zama that we can say, hey, Mama. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So then from there, you get someone to just do your garden sometimes, and it doesn't necessarily come out
exactly
the way it needs to be coming out.
Exactly,
do you understand? So these are the things that I think really we need to be taking over and influencing as black business, you know, as a whole. So Bulelani, you didn't tell us, what are some of the odds or some of the challenges that you've experienced in your entrepreneurial journey ever since?
Sure. Where do I start? There's so many, but I mean, I think obviously it's the one I was telling you about last week, the dispute with our insurance company. You know, that's a big fight that's going on. Having to fire people, and hire new people. That's where we're at right now. We're busy restructuring. It's not a nice space.
Mm.
It's a painful space because it's a growth space. You know?
Yeah.
We've reached our growth peak purely because of talent.
Mm.
So we now need to reshuffle talent. One of our machines, 138,000 rand machine, or rather 300,000 rand machine broke down and the damage is 138,000.
That's over a new machine.
Over a small thing, you know,
and it's a question to say, Chief, even if I can take it from your money, it won't make up that.
It will never ever come up to that. But I guess at the end of the day, right? That's what makes entrepreneurship.
I think Bulelani, let's have a show around insurance.
Yeah.
You've had issues of insurance. She's had issues of insurance. Do you understand? And the reality is, last time we were talking with a friend of mine in regards to the Rock the Shades kind of event.
Mm.
Events like that need to have their own insurance and whatever. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And right now we wing it, bruh. So now we just wing it because you're thinking this money that you need to be paying. Do you understand?
You know, I want to cut in. You know what it is, right?
Mm.
It's the assumption that everything will always go right up until. Remember, there was that video that happened. There was this big political gathering in one of the provinces, and there was a storm, and the tent flipped.
You're kidding me.
The tent. I mean, there was 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people there.
Mm.
The tent flipped. And literally, the only thing that could save the people guest, who own tents. Yeah, what was it? The owner, the company that puts the tents up, is to make sure that they've got a clear engineer certificate
that is
to
signed.
Set this thing up, number one, and like public liability. Because then now your business is gone.
Yeah.
Literally.
No, it's true.
I mean,
it's true.
Over some oversight.
Yeah. I mean, look at the business that once set up stage. You know? And immediately when Thabo Mbeki was by the podium, the stage fell.
Sure.
Do you understand? So that business went under immediately from a multi-million-dollar business that had been doing well. Immediately with that one incident, with that somebody that is reputable, they've gone under. You've never heard of them. Do you understand? So I think let's bring in. I don't want to bring in insurance companies. They're gonna sell to us.
Brokers.
Now,
they're gonna sell. They're gonna spend on the good, glamorous things.
I think let's bring in brokers. And let's bring in people that have had experiences from an insurance point of view. And let's have real conversations and real discussions. To say right now, if Uzama is doing more stuff, do you understand? And Uzama needs to work to be able to maintain that subscription. Do you understand? So then right now, Umpo undercalculated or the fish got burned. Do you understand? So then right now they cannot be able to be making maybe the whatever margin. So it means on that particular month the installment of the insurance goes down.
Yes.
Or it's not coming at all. Do you understand? What happens to people like that? Do you understand? In this instance, right now you might find, let's say even simple thing, in a case of the friend, they might have been paying insurance for 12 years. Do you understand? On that particular year, 2 or 3 months, there's an issue, they can't able to pay. Then next thing something like that happened. The next thing they don't pay.
No, insurance doesn't care.
Do you understand?
And it's tough. It's
tough. So I think let's get people to break down the business model of insurance. Do you understand?
You know, my thing, right, is the average human being is a human being. And the average insurance company is an insurance company. And what I mean by that, to give it context, is they're a corporate, right?
Yes.
And in them being a corporate, you are then expecting a human being to behave as a corporate, of which they're not.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It means that Deboho must have someone who watches his assets, someone who does this. And the ordinary person is not that organized. You don't have, or rather the ordinary South African doesn't have a head of staff, right? Who's checking to make sure that all the parts are fine, that the cars have now moved addresses and moved to... I mean, people's insurances have not been paid out over technicalities. Literal technicality. You think you've been paying... You paid 300,000 worth of insurance, but over slight technicality, you know, they throw you under because they're a business at the end of the day. But they're expecting a human being to become
and
a
we've got
so I think leniency.
And we've got the likes of Stain that are owning more than one insurance with different names and whatsoever, making a killing.
Of course.
Yeah, no, it is the conversation that I think we're going to have and we need to have on the show around the issue of business. But right now we are talking them doing business against odds because the entrepreneurs that we have in studio, they're doing their own fair share of running successful businesses or are striving to run successful businesses against all odds that they face in terms of from an employment point of view, living, work, maintaining lifestyle, and sometimes even having to do a job. And overnight coming back to run a kitchen, you know, because you're actually trying to sustain or building something sustainable for yourself. And it is entrepreneurship. I always say this thing, it's a calling, guys. I don't care who says what. This is not for everyone. So now maybe as obviously we're heading towards the end of the show, maybe what I want to know from Nontlanta, to say, Nontlanta, there's someone, you know, out there, you know, that is listening to your journey and what you've gone through. So you've said something very interesting earlier, to say you had to get married, relocate and whatever. So it means the vision had to be on hold. You know, so I know a lot of women that after, have you seen, maybe this is someone or if ever back Jolene or whatsoever, or something has happened, I've realized the most consistent thing women have said, after everything that I've done for you, do you understand? Are you guys crying because of all the sacrifices that you've made? I've put my vision on hold for you, dude.
Imagine,
do you understand?
The
next thing, you know what? I could be a millionaire, a billionaire by now. But right now, then you decide to come cheat with this, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
I think when I'm with you, you've got odds of being an entrepreneur, you've got odds of being a woman. Do you understand? So you've told about some of the odds of being an entrepreneur. What are some of the odds of being an entrepreneur who's a female?
You need to be convincing, you know, especially a woman that is still working, because remember, I was doing this as a side hustle.
Okay.
So you're a mother, you're a wife, you're an employee, and then you're an owner.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to juggle all of those things. So I think, not that it can't be done. I mean, women can do everything, and we strive to do that.
That's a dangerous statement, eh? But I will not get into it.
we are capable. Okay. We are capable. We've proven time and time again. I mean, we manage ikaya, you know, so that everything, can imagine mauhamba, you know, everything is going to be smooth at home.
Mm.
So I think it can happen. It happens. And we just need to be appreciated by our male counterparts in terms of ikaya. Nasim 17, you know, and they must just appreciate that, you know, she did it. Maybe not necessarily because she's a woman, but because she's capable of doing it.
Mm. Yeah. Zama, you gave us your own odds from an entrepreneur point of view, and being an employee and running a business, this side and whatever. So you are also a husband. Yes. You know, it's hard being a man. Guys. just like it's hard being a woman.
Yes.
Just,
yes.
So the other is just more harder than the other. I'm just trying to figure out which one is harder. Just because I've always said, you know, it's the interesting thing with women, with a man, you need to work and be a provider. Then not only that, you need to be a provider, you need to be a friend.
Yes.
To her. And because if you can't be a friend, then we've got problems.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
The next thing, another thing as well, you need to satisfy her.
Yeah.
You know? So she wants to be satisfied.
Yeah.
You know? And everything else. Then and it's a whole lot of other things. Do you understand? What are some of the challenges that you've had personally from being all that? Who's a, I always say, guys, it's not easy dating an entrepreneur, whether being a woman or being a man.
Yeah.
Do you understand? What are some of your odds?
Now, I think, especially in my case, because most of the events that we're having are at night.
Mm.
So, I mean, like she said, then you need to explain yourself. Why did you come back at this time? What happened? So, that's what I'm saying. For us, like you said, it needs a very strong wife. And so far I have one, and she's very supportive. And my kids understand as well that what are we doing. And you try by all means, like going this show. Last time we're at the newspaper, so at, and when they see you there, I mean, it validates those moments that you had that you were not there.
Yeah.
We're at the YFM at the other day, so they see that daddy's doing something.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a reward for it, unfortunately, that's where you fall off. So I'm happy that through the hustle, we're getting the rewards. Through us being here at Leaf Central, it's a reward.
Yeah.
So it forever actually rectifies some of the issues that we've been having. That what are you doing? So imagine if you are that aspiring entrepreneur and those validations don't come, and you have a problem. That's why we're having people divorcing and all those things.
Yeah.
So I thank God, actually, that our ministry is coming okay. For now, and we're pushing towards there, and I hope it goes well.
That's the tough thing, right?
What
that you know entrepreneurship will skin you.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll also skin you of the people around you.
Yeah.
You know, you'll go from married to single, or you'll go from single to married single. You will go from 100 million to 10,000. It's entrepreneurship.
Are you married?
No.
So when are you?
No, he's fine.
When are you called the shots? So you don't have challenges, right?
I do have challenges.
How? Chief, you are not married. How are you having a challenge of running a business and being a boyfriend? What are some of your challenges?
Baby mama drama.
Yeah, we'll see if the baby mama's listening now. You must check your phone after this.
No, but that is true, guys. It's a reality. Do you understand?
Yeah, because I've seen it happening to him. Because, I mean, with the dish that we have, it's so presentable that it attracts a lot of women.
Yeah.
So he's the chef. In most cases, he has to explain what he has put, the sauces and all those things. So you see, by him being the front person, it gives him a lot of problem. And unfortunately, I think I'm fine because I'm married. For him, how are you going to get married when you're seeing a lot of people there? So that's the problem.
It creates more confusion.
Yeah.
No, but Elena, what are some of the challenges have you had dating and running a business?
Man, so I'm a, I think I'm a serial workaholic. And for the fact that I'm almost involved in multiple businesses means that Saturdays are gone. Sundays are gone. Evenings are gone. You know, so you don't have okay, cool, I'm leaving here, I'm knocking off, you know. I'm at the studio today, but I'm still on the clock on two other things.
True.
I'm shooting in the evening, I've got a meeting much later on. So I think at the end of the day, I think someone said it this way. It makes sense now. It doesn't say don't find a girlfriend or boyfriend or wife or husband, find a partner. I thought, sure, wow, that sounds That sounds so cool.
Yeah. No. It's actually interesting because now I think it's one of the hardest things I've mainly been dumped before for working hard. You're always working with Tandy Mali, you know? And then I'm like, dude, do you know? And sometimes others I've had to choose me or your work. Ah, bruh, that's a losing battle. You know,
you know, and if someone says that and they won't pay your bills,
imagine.
And
they still want to go shopping.
So I think we must have a conversation around that. You know, to say let's have entrepreneurs that have seen it all to say. So dating and entrepreneurship, does it go hand in hand? Do you understand? Because it has all the challenges. But at the end of the day, it is entrepreneurship. So this is something that we definitely had to do. But if ever you've just joined in, you missed out on an exciting discussion that we had, with our entrepreneurs today. Uzama from Mostef and the chef Umpo from Mostef and my sister Unonhlanhla Mthethwa, who's a manufacturer of baby products that we have in studio, who happens to be the winner as well of What's Your Next competition. But you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com and go to podcast to actually catch the show and get to hear some of the exciting things that we had to share and talk about. So now, in ladies and gents, for people that want to maybe get hold of you, Sis Nontlanta, that want to support you, and everything else. Where can they get hold of you?
They can get us at www.girlsinc.co.za, girls with a Z, on Instagram.
Girls with a Z, all
girls with a Z,
okay.
INK,
.co.za, okay.
And then, Instagram, it's girlsinc_sa, Twitter, girlsinc_sa. And on Facebook, it's Girls Inc. SA.
Okay, then your number?
061-406-5453.
Yeah. 061-406-5453.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's only for orders.
Yeah. Yes. No, guys, she is happily married. So, Mpo, for people that want to get hold of you guys, in terms of more staff, where can they get hold of you? Where are you guys showcasing?
We are at Butcher 2.0.
Okay. It's so Butcher 2.0, is that your resident?
Yeah, actually that's where I want to actually thank them as well, because they gave us a warm welcome. We had a partnership with them since they're selling other type of obviously food, but they partnered with us, seeing the potential which has grown both the entities.
Yeah.
So we are there at Butcher 2.0 in Daveyton, formerly known as the Lido.
Okay.
It's number 5100.
Yeah.
Dumisa Street in Daveyton.
Okay.
And then our number is 081 3500 0712. And we are available from 12 o'clock for now. Obviously, we're still from 12 o'clock lunchtime up until late. during the week.
So you prepare food every week then?
Every day. Even today, these guys that are left behind, which obviously were trained by me and Paul to continue. So they're there, and then you can just order. Use the number on Facebook. It's Most Delicious Foods.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get our number in there or drop us an inbox. We'll be able to come back to you, and then we order for you. We do deliver, but for now, we're still between Benoni and Davidton.
Mm-hmm.
But if a client is new, we're willing to actually meet halfway and meet them and drop off the food, because what is important is for them to taste the product.
Okay. So I'm building a house. I need training landscape services. Where can I get hold of you?
My number is 083-367-6698.
083-367-6698. Okay.
Yes.
So we usually close off the show in style. We want a 30-second word of inspiration to someone that is on the verge of giving up. Or maybe let's make it different this year, this time around. What would you say to a you 5 years back today in 30 seconds? We're starting with you, Nontlanhla.
Do it. Don't be afraid. Yes, you're allowed to dream, and you can dream big, bigger than what you can imagine. Everything is possible as long as you believe in it. Yeah.
No, like that. Zama?
No, I think I always say, Gassi child, it's possible. Like you said, beyond all odds. If I see myself 5 years ago, I still had a dream, and the dream is actually coming true. So I would say, go for it. Never think uti abantu bazothini. And I say it on my timeline, build a brand. If it dies, build another one. Because if you're destined to make it, you'll make it. That's awesome.
Okay. Mpoza?
You are never too cool to hustle.
Cheers. I like that. You're never too cool to hustle, my brother.
I think entrepreneurs go out there, get things done. But most importantly, talk is cheap, you know. Mm. If it's not preceded by action. So let's act out on those dreams. Someone said to me the other day, the year is over. And I said, what? The year has got 3.5 months to go.
Yeah.
What world do you live in? Go and work on your stuff, man.
No, definitely. This is all that we had for you today on 360 Biz. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is David Mafodi and Bulani Bala Bala. We out.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.